Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Hello and welcome to this event that we're going to call Safety FM with Jay Allen. I hope everything is grand inside of your neck of the woods as we are hanging out on this Tuesday, August the 12th of 2025. Listen, a lot of stuff going on inside of our industry. Thank you for all the people that were involved in the Kinda Ask Me Anything episode from last week. It was kind of like, it's kind of hard to explain. Because it really wasn't planned, but there were so many questions coming in about the book that I kind of figured to be the best way to do it. And I said, hey, I'm going to do an Ask Me Anything because there's so many questions that come out about the Signal Trilogy. So thank you for all the questions came about. Book still readily available on Amazon if you're looking. And that's the Signal Trilogy version that's available on Amazon. All three of them are available, but we are only selling the all three in one in a hard copy, just in case you're looking. But let's not get too focused on that. Let's focus on what we will consider important today, because we are in that level of the industry where things are getting more and more interesting. And let's talk about some of the stuff that's going on, because, you know, aging out of the safety profession seems to be something that's occurring. So broadcasting from the intersection of experience and ever-changing world of safety, this is Safety FM with yours truly, Jay Allen. So we're talking about something that isn't always discussed openly, but it impacts every single one of us eventually. And that's aging out of the safety profession. I know some people are going to be like already making those eye rolls as they're sitting there going, what the hell is he going to talk about today? But we'll get into it. Now, I know that the phase sounds like a little harsh when we start saying aging out, but like there's a big clock somewhere in the HR office counting down your time until you and your gold watch is handed to you and in that awkward sheet cake that's handed out at most retirement parties. But here's the truth. In safety, we don't always talk about what it feels like when the years of experience we've earned are starting to be seen as not a strength, but as a sign that we might be past our prime. I know, but it's something that we need to talk about. And the reality is that whether if you're 28 or 58, this conversation is for you, because the way that we treat our most experienced safety professionals says a lot about the culture of our organization. And it also says a lot about how we see our own future in this field. So what do you think? Are you ready for this conversation? Because it's going to be it's not going to be the most pretty thing on the planet. So I want to make sure that as we go down this path, we're a little bit open-minded, we have this discussion, and we'll go through some of the stuff that some people will deem important, not important, somewhat important, I don't know, just something to talk about. So let's go through this. I want to start with the story. Years ago, I knew a safety manager Let's call him Ken. Ken had been with this company for over 30 years. He started when the safety manual was a three-ring binder and barely could fit on a shelf. And then he'd been through, you know, new leadership, through two acquisitions, through changes in OSHA regulations that completely shifted how they did business. And Ken, well, he was good. Not just book smart. He had the ability to walk into a plant, look around, and just see where the trouble spots were. Not because he was psychic, even though some people really thought that he was, but that's a whole other story. But because he'd seen the patterns before. But somewhere around his 60th birthday, I think it was, give or take, little things started to change. He wasn't invited to leadership's offsets, especially those offsite meetings anymore. His younger peers started saying things like, yeah, but you know, times have changed. And if he hadn't been adapting to change for three decades, then one day he found out that his role was being reimagined. You know that phase, which is a term for being phased out. But the term reimagined was used. So now there's the kicker. The day that he left the company, they lost 30 years of institutional memory. Think about that for a moment. Institutional memory. And they didn't even realize it until 6 months later. When they had their first major incident in a decade and nobody knew how to navigate without him, the aging out action, and it's not rare. Aging out action is something that happens in most workplaces, and we do not acknowledge these things until later on when something major occurs. You know, the first default action was immediately is, hey, let's call Ken and we can put him in as a contractor or a consultant to see if he can help us out. Or let's call Ken and see if he'll tell us what we need to do. Isn't that interesting? So let's talk about what aging out actually means in safety and why it's about more than just a number on your birth certificate. Because I think that sometimes people tend to get a little bit confused when we start talking about this, opposed to putting some major focus on what's going on. And think about this for a moment. Think about it. Has this scenario happened? Let's talk about if there's a safety manager and there's a safety assistant, and all of a sudden the safety assistant becomes the manager because the safety manager was older or more expensive to pay for. Think about that for a moment. It gets really weird. There's some awkward conversations that happen behind the scenes, but let's get back to the main focus here. Defining aging out. So in safety, aging out isn't just hitting 65 and deciding that you're done. It's when the opportunity is narrow because of perception, sometimes before you're ready, sometimes way before you're ready. And what can it look like? Well, let's talk about this. Getting passed over for high visibility projects. Hearing the phrase, we're looking for fresh ideas, as a code for we want someone younger, or having your experience reframed as being set in your ways. You know, you're set in your ways, so probably what you do is not going to work for what we're looking for. You know, these are terms that you've heard before. This is not something that I'm making up on the fly here. These are all common language on things that happen. And let's be clear, this can happen well before retirement age. I've seen people in their late 40s start feeling it, especially in organizations that prize the latest tech over the wisdom of hard-won lessons. You know, those pieces of software that are going to be able to predict the future and tell me exactly everything that's going on before everything happens. You know what I'm talking about. You've heard about some of these. Now, part of this about the nature of safety works, well, let's talk about this. Safety just isn't a desk job. It's about walking job sites, climbing ladders, troubleshooting in noisy, dusty, sometimes hot environments. That physical component can make leadership quietly wonder, can they still do it? Even when you can absolutely can. But there's these weird questions that come about, and I just don't understand it. But here's the irony. The longer you're in this profession, the more value you should bring. The more value should be looked at as an increase because you've seen more, handled more, and you can see risks that others won't spot until they've been burned. Unfortunately, the perception doesn't always match the reality. And that's the hard point about this, because it gets weird, and it gets weird really quick when you start noticing these changes. So let's talk a little bit more. Let's talk about the double-edged sword of experience. And it gets really tricky, and let's not lie. Experience is both a great and maybe even the greatest asset, and in the eyes of some, your greatest liability. So let's talk about the asset side first, because I think that's going to be the important part. When you're in safety for 20, 30 years, you've lived through incident investigations that were career defining. Think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. Even if you're new into this or you've been here for a long time, think about that. Think about people that you've seen inside of the industry, or maybe it's you yourself that you've had these career defining moments because of incident investigations. So, you know, the politics, the human behaviors, and the shortcuts that people take. You've seen regulation shift. You've been through technology rollouts that worked and the ones that crashed and burned. But let's talk about the other side, the liability side. Some leaders, especially those who've grown up inside of a different era, may assume that your resistance to new approaches, they might think of it as, well, they've been doing this one way for so long, they won't change. Or, this is the big one, they see your experience compared to a younger, less experienced hire. You know, that happens. And it happens probably a lot more than what we talk about. But we'll leave that for a different section. And let's not kid ourselves. There's also the unconscious bias around energy levels, adaptability, and even physical stamina. I've had listeners tell me that they've been subtly, you know, nudged towards retirement in their early 50s because leadership wanted a new image for the safety department. That's not about capability. That's about optics. And optics can cost an organization more than they realize. Think about this. Think about this real quick. Think about when you hear about a company that talks about that a department has X amount of experience, and what they have done is they take the number of employees, the amount of years that they've done X kind of work, and say that this is the experience level of what is going on. Think about it. It's not uncommon. It is not uncommon at all. It's super common. And those optics sometimes can be weird. Like, I was talking to a realtor on Sunday, and she was referencing that her office has 15 years of experience in the real estate business with the group that works there. 15 years. And I think they had like 5 or 6 people that worked inside of that office. I thought it was kind of interesting. But this is the thing that people look at, and these are the things that people talk about. So it gets pretty interesting as we're talking. So let's continue. What about, you know, organizations that lose? So let's talk about this. When a company lets its most seasoned safety professional fade out without a proper knowledge transfer, here's what they lose. Institutional memory. The unwritten rules, the historical content behind decisions. Crisis navigation. People who don't panic when the alarm goes off. You know what I'm talking about. Relationship capital, years of trust built with frontline teams and executives. And that loss isn't, you know, made up. I've seen companies spend 6 figures on consultants to fix problems that their senior safety managers could have handled in a week if they'd still been there. And that's where it gets interesting. because we tend to not put a lot of value in wisdom sometimes. We tend to forget on how important the people are that have been there for a while. The good, the bad, and the ugly, let's not lie. There's a lot of stuff there. So we talk about safety culture like it's something that you can build in a year. It's not. Culture is built over time through trust and credibility. And that's exactly what you risk when you're losing your most experienced person when you let them walk out the door. So, if anything, how do you stay relevant? So if you're here, you're probably listening and you're thinking, Jay, this is me. I'm in my 40s, in my 50s, maybe my 60s. I'm wondering how to stay in the game. Well, here's what I tell people. Stay current with technology. Even if you don't love it, learn it. Safety software, analytics, dashboards, wearables. The more fluent you are in it, the harder it is for someone to write you off as old school. The reason that I say that this technology is important, not because I'm endorsing it, I think it's important for you to understand the trends and the changes within the industry. It's something that's super important. It's something that you cannot look at and go, oh, this is so different that it doesn't make sense. Look at it from that fashion. What else? Position yourself as a mentor. Make it known that you're not just doing the job, you're building the next generation. That makes you invaluable to the organization. The other thing I would recommend, or that I do recommend, better saying, is document your wins. Keep track of the programs that you've implemented, the incident reductions, the cost savings in this, your portfolio. And I'm going to tell you, that is probably one of the suckiest things that I can tell you to do. But I learned it years ago that you have to track everything. It is not to sit around and have a portfolio where you brag about yourself, but a lot of organizations want to know, what have you done for me lately? And that sometimes is the easiest way to do it. And there's going to be something that I said there that you're going to be like, how am I going to prove an incident reduction? Well, that's the thing. You never know what you're saying, how much it changed stuff, but it's still something that you need to talk about because, unfortunately, our stupid metrics are still not caught up with the way that the world lives. So it's still something we need to discuss. Also, expand your skill set. If you've always been a plant focus, learn on the ESG, operational excellence, or human performance systems. Make it harder for people to box you in. Understand the lingo. Understand the things that are different that other sequences or systems use where you can have discussions about them. Maybe the things that you like, maybe the things that you don't like. It's something to position yourself for people to understand you better. Expanding your skill set. Network strategically. Often opportunities come up from relationships, not job boards, and that doesn't stop when you're senior. In fact, that's when it matters the most. Think about that for a moment. It can take you places, seriously. So what else would I tell you? What organizations should be doing? I know some people are going to be like, wow, I'm shocked that we waited so long to get to this part. But yeah, I'll talk about it. For leaders that are listening, your senior safety professionals are not replaceable widgets. You cannot download their wisdom. Or maybe I should say you can't download their wisdom yet. Here's what you need. Structured. Listen to that word there. Structured mentorship programs. Pair them with younger pros, not just for technical skills, but for their political navigation and safety. Think about that. Think about if we use mentor programs inside of our workplace on how things would go. I get to interact with a company quite often. That's how they build the whole structure. It is by having mentor programs. You have still your normal bosses, but you have people leaders. You have mentorship programs. You have places that you can go for different aspects that it's just not one bucket. Think about that. Also, knowledge capture. Get the unwritten process documented. I know some people are going to be like, well, that's not how things are normally done. Get into the habit of documenting everything. Seriously. Because think about it. Think about the black line, blue line, because we talk about it so often. Work imagined versus work performed. Write it. Write it down. Write it down. Just make sure that you still capture the knowledge. Flexible roles. Maybe they don't need to be in, you know, in the field every day. Maybe they can lead strategic projects and remote audits. Think about that, especially if you're a leader and you're taking a listen to this. Also, some public recognition never hurts. Make it clear that you value them, so the rest of the organization does too. Remember, as the leader inside of the work group, you are setting on how things are going to move forward. Just kind of the reality of what is going on. So let's not lie to each other. So what would you do if you're looking ahead right now? So as the boomers retire and Gen X starts to follow, we're about to see a massive knowledge gap in safety. The question is whether we treat that as a crisis or an opportunity. And this is where it's going to get interesting. If we build a multi-generational team where the wisdom of experience and the energy of innovation work side by side, listen to that, side by side, that's a sweet spot. But this will take intentional effort. And here's the truth. One day, the younger pros listening now will be the ones that we're talking about. The way that we treat our senior safety leaders today sets the standard for how you'll be treated tomorrow. Think about that. These people are going to see this. The younger gen will see how the senior leadership is being treated on the way out. And that will set expectations. Think about it. So aging out in the safety profession isn't about hitting an expiration date. It's about how we value and how we manage transition for individuals. It's about staying engaged and evolving. For organizations, it's about capturing and honoring decades. Yes, I did say decades of hard-earned wisdom. So here's my challenge. Yeah, it's a simple one. If you're a senior safety professional, find one thing this month to learn that keeps you fresh. If you're a leader, find one senior pro in your team and ask, what do you know that we haven't written down yet? Think about it. That's how we keep the signal strong in the noise of change. So that's something to think about. Anyways, I have been your safety manager and host, Jay Allen. And until next time, be safe.
The views and opinions expressed during this broadcast, podcast, or radio show are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Safety FM and or Radio Big. The content discussed, including examples of analysis, is provided for illustrative purposes only. It should not be applied as the sole solution in real-world scenarios, as it is based on limited and dated open source information. Any assumptions made during this broadcast, podcast, or radio show are not reflective of Safety FM and or Radio Big. No portion of this broadcast, podcast, or radio show may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, electronic, mechanical, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of Safety FM and or Radio Big. For permission requests, please contact Safety FM or Radio Big directly.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.